All right, what's up, Aggie Radio? You're listening to Overcompetitive Bystanders here on KBLU 92.3 here in Logan, Utah.
Yeah, we're really excited for our great show that we have today. Last week was a great week of college football. We're really excited about what we have coming up, and so we're just going to dive right into it. First of all, we're going to talk about how we did with our predictions last week. So just to recap it a little bit, we'll remember that me and Alex both agreed that Utah State would beat Weber State. We both were wrong in the fact that we thought Arizona would beat BYU. it was close. We were almost right on that one.
Arizona should have had that game if they had played better in close. The first half. But.
Yeah, we'll get into that one in just a moment. We both were right that Utah would beat SUU. We both were wrong thinking that Oklahoma would beat Houston, even though both of us wanted Houston to win.
And I, watching the Houston game, I thought for sure I had predicted Houston winning. So I'm super upset at my past self not recognizing that. Houston.
Okay. We both were right in the fact that Alabama would beat USC. We both were wrong in the fact that we thought that Alabama would, or USC would put up a better fight. But that's another topic.
To be fair, in the pregame show, I did say that Alabama was going to cream USC. It wouldn't be close, and USC would be running out of the top 25 with their tails between their ankles. So,
okay, I didn't know that, but I guess you were right. You happy?
I am happy. Thank you.
Good. I was right in picking Wisconsin over LSU. Alex was wrong. I actually even almost predicted the exact score. I had it 17-14. It ended up being 16-14. I'm very happy with myself for picking the upset and almost picking the exact score.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean, I couldn't have predicted Fournette would look as bad as he did. So, I mean, more power to you. I did say I liked Wisconsin, and Wisconsin was the team preseason that I said would be ranked week two.
Okay.
Which is weird going up against LSU. That shouldn't have been a prediction, but I did make that prediction way before I saw the first week one games. So, I mean, give me that little credit, but I'm sad with myself that I couldn't go with Wisconsin on this one.
Okay, that's fine. And then we both were right in picking Clemson over Auburn. So that means that as of right now, I am 5-2 and Alex is 4-3. I've got a game lead ahead of him. We're going to pick 7 more games this week and see where we end up.
Yep, couple college football, couple NFL, it'll be good.
Yeah. So, first of all, we're going to talk about just how great this past week was. I honestly couldn't have been happier about how great every single game went. I wasn't able to watch each of them, but I just loved all of them that I could watch. My favorite game of the week was the Notre Dame-Texas game. That had, in my mind, everything that could ever be wanted from anything. It was amazing.
I unfortunately could not watch that game. I had to watch it through my phone because where I was at, I couldn't get the channel that was playing it. I was super sad to miss this game, but that's okay.
So my thing that I just really found incredible was just how, I mean, so it had the number 10 Notre Dame team playing an unranked Texas team. These are two programs that are well known. These are two programs that have a lot of prestige. Texas is trying to come back and kind of redeem itself. Notre Dame is trying to stay relevant. And it was, to me, just absolutely impressive how well Texas kept a lead. It looked great. Then Notre Dame looked great to take the lead. It's not like Texas started looking bad. It's that Notre Dame looked really good.
Okay.
Takes the lead back. Texas takes the lead back. And it's just bouncing back and forth. Going into the fourth quarter, Texas was up by 3. They force overtime.
Sure.
They go into overtime. Texas has a good drive. They fight for it. They look good. Then on the first play of Notre Dame's overtime drive, Notre Dame scores a touchdown. And you're just like, oh, Notre Dame, you know, Texas, that was a good fight, you know, but they took it to overtime. But you can just tell Notre Dame's just a notch above.
Right.
Then Notre Dame goes again. They only get a field goal. And Texas goes and swoops. The 18-wheeler just dives into the end zone on this amazing play that just the perfect culmination of everything that's happened. And it was just so impressive. I just loved it so much.
Okay. What do you think was the biggest difference that made Texas win this game?
I think they did a great job with their dual quarterbacks.
Okay.
So they had Swoops, who was the more experienced quarterback, more of a running quarterback.
Sure.
And they had Bouchel is what I think it is, Shane Bouchel.
Sounds right.
Who was the freshman quarterback. Right. His first game.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw for like over 300 yards and wow. 3 touchdowns, if I remember correctly. He did absolutely amazing. And I just sat there and just was in absolute shock as the whole game went on. And I was just so glad that this game went down this way. I was able to catch from about the third quarter on TV. Up until then, I was just watching it on my phone, just keeping track of the score. But it was just absolutely amazing. I loved every second of it. And yeah, I mean, somebody put the comment on Reddit that it was like when you play NCAA football on the PlayStation or on the Xbox and you have like a game like this, it always tells you like, you just set the number one instant classic and it gives you like this big score. That's what it was. It had everything that was wanted. I mean, the fact that Notre Dame forced overtime by blocking the extra point and running it back for a touchdown.
Oh man, that was so crazy. I saw that play.
That was absolutely, and you just sit there and you're like, okay, cool, like they're gonna take a 2-point. Nope, never mind, it's tied, it's done. That's yeah. It was amazing.
That was a huge play. All right. I have a really hard time saying this, Mason, I love the Cougars. Of course, I can't be talking about the BYU Cougars because their fans are awful. I'm obviously talking about the Houston Cougars.
I also love Houston.
So, I do really like Houston. I think they're a really good team. So, Houston, Oklahoma is actually my game of the week. I think I could probably argue a couple other games, but this one is the one I watched most intently. This is the one that like kept my attention, and so I actually took a couple notes and. The reasons I think Houston won this game and why I love them is one, I know you hear this a lot, but it looked like they just wanted it more, you know, like when they like went for, there's a couple plays where like the Oklahoma overcrowded the line, was pressuring the quarterback, but he got free and not only like got back to the, like the line of scrimmage, but got like a 10 yard catch out of it. Like yeah. There was one play where he like, throws it basically out of bounds, but to his player. So his player could make a huge catch or it's going out of bounds.
Yeah.
And their wide receiver made one of the sickest college football catches I've seen in a long time. He was parallel to the ground. Like, it was insane.
Oh, yeah. That one looked sick.
So, yeah, that like he's scrambling. There's like 6 or 7 guys behind him, and it was huge. And the big thing for that is, so I think – if you haven't heard about this, the coach, while talking about last season, they referred to it as that team.
Uh-huh, for Florida State, yeah.
Right. No, for Houston.
Oh, really?
They didn't talk about themselves as them. They're talking about last year's Houston team as that team.
Okay.
And so, like, they came into this game, I think, I don't want to say humble,
yeah.
But, like, completely forgetting about level-headed, last year's team.
At least.
There was, like... There was a pretty big, I can't remember the exact numbers, but there was a pretty big swing in starters. And so they didn't want to like be like, oh, yeah, that team last year is the same team as this. They differentiated it. Houston looked better on third downs. The biggest thing is they pressured so many times on defense. Mm-hmm. The coach said somewhere around 30 to 40 plays a game of pressure,
wow.
Which is huge.
That's pretty good.
And, of course, if you watched this game or if you heard about this game, the biggest swing was, of course, that huge missed field goal returned for a touchdown. I mean, Oklahoma didn't even realize that there was somebody sitting in the end zone, so they obviously didn't have enough time to recover. It's a 10-point swing at the end of the day. It's a really big swing. It was the play that turned it around. Like, before that play, super close game. Oklahoma had... you know, kind of a hold on the game. Houston, with that play, they took over the game. Momentum was on their side. It was huge.
Yeah, I mean, the kick six is my favorite play. I think kick six is the coolest thing. It's the greatest thing. When it happened with Alabama-Auburn, that was, like, the craziest thing.
And that was the thing they kept showing is the Auburn one.
Oh, yeah.
They went between that and then a recap of the Houston one.
It was, oh, yeah. It was the best thing ever. I think that any team that gets a kick six should automatically be given the win.
I think they should be given the draw. Like, yeah, you were down by 30 points, but you kick six dust, so now it's a draw.
It's a draw. Unless, of course, they do it back.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, it's like, all right, guess who's not kicking field goals? Yeah. We aren't.
We're just going to go for it on every fourth down.
I think they could even have it be where, like, maybe it's like a, the golden snitch that's in Harry Potter, where, like, the kick six ends like, the game.
Right.
But it's also worth, like, 30 points.
Sure. We need to get in talks with NCAA, get this rule in effect immediately.
Forget targeting. We need the kick six rule.
Forget safety in, like, every essence of the word. We don't care anymore. We want this kick six to end the game and add 30 points.
Add 30 points. Imagine opening kickoff. Team drives down the field. You paid $150 for your great seats at this game. Your team goes for a field goal. They miss. It's a kick six. 4 minutes into the game, they just look at the refs and go, sorry, it's over. It's done. That's all. Yep. We won by 30.
That would be very disappointing. But going back to this game, that the two huge things that I haven't talked about yet is Ed Oliver. Huge. He is a 18-year-old true freshman for Houston. He's their defensive end. And the dude is fast. He's fast as hell. And he will catch you. He's so impressive to watch. He was one of my favorite players to watch on defense.
Absolute beast.
And then on the other side of the ball, Baker Mayfield, like, at the end of the half, 9 for 9. I think he went 11 for 11 before he missed a pass, and it wasn't even really missed a pass. He had to throw it away. But, I mean, only 9 passes in the first half. Sure, they were winning in the first half. So, but as soon as they went down and they had to rely on Baker Mayfield, he didn't look as great. And with this loss, I'm pretty sure he's not in the Heisman talks anymore.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. It's like one loss. And all of a sudden, he's out of Heisman contention. Like, obviously, they're still going to talk about him, but this is going to be a big thing that down the road, they're going to be like, well, I mean, he didn't beat Houston.
Well, and not even he didn't beat Houston. He couldn't lead his team to a win, and he didn't look great. Like, he had a few super impressive plays, but he didn't look like a Heisman candidate at the end of that game.
Yeah, I think that's the crazy part. I think he's out of it. I think Oklahoma's out of the playoff discussion. I think Houston's a very solid spot in it. I don't understand how any team other than Houston can do it. I mean, right now, where they're at, they're number 6 in the AP, and they're just, if they win out, they're in. There's sure. There's absolutely no doubt. They win out, they are in the college football playoff, unless by some corrupt act, they are left out. And it would be the most obvious corrupt thing ever, because they'd be like number 2 in the AP in coaches and number like 6 in the college football playoff committee.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's impossible, but even if the SEC, the Pac-12, and the ACC had a undefeated team, Houston still takes that fourth spot.
Yeah, I think they should.
But on the other side of the ball, if they lose to anybody, they're out.
Oh, yeah. It's
I think they have to go undefeated, even though they do play Louisville.
They play a good Louisville team.
They are ranked 13 right now. But
I don't think they'll be ranked when they play them, though.
I agree.
It's the second to last week. I don't think I think Louisville's okay. They're not 13. But I think they'll do well. If they're ranked, they're like in the low, like 25, 24. Yeah.
And unless Louisville surprises us all and is a top 10 team when Houston plays them, mm-hmm. unless they lose there, they aren't in the playoffs. And even then, I don't think they have a shot at the playoffs, unfortunately, especially how close I think it's going to be this year.
Yeah, like, I think it's true.
The fact that I can see Alabama not being in the playoffs, pretty big.
How?
Florida State, Clemson.
I don't think Florida State and Clemson both. I think it's one of the two.
I think.
So here's my
probably
four.
Right. You're probably right.
Here's my four. Okay. I have Alabama, Houston, probably Clemson, and then it hurts me to say it, but probably Stanford. Either Stanford or Washington. I don't know who in the Pac-12 I feel it should be. But somebody in the Pac-12 has to look really, really good.
I think it's going
to
be
cut through.
I don't think Washington makes it to the playoffs, unfortunately. I think Stanford has a really good shot, but I can't see Washington being the top four at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You're probably right. It's probably going to be Florida State or Clemson at the end of the year, because unless they both go undefeated until that championship game, because I don't think they play each other in the regular season. And then And then Clemson's the number one team undefeated, and then Florida State maybe squeaks by in the fourth spot with a one loss to the number one team. But and then I think Ohio State, Michigan, or
That's true.
Probably Wisconsin, whoever like
I
think Wisconsin if could get there. I don't think it's a huge chance. But I
I don't think Wisconsin will do that well. I think they're a really good team, and I think they can upset teams that overlook them, and I think they'll do well.
I mean, they made Fournette the like most like NFL prepared running back in college right now. Really good running back. They made him look like an average mid-major
But what are they going to do when a good quarterback comes along?
We'll have to see. But
I think they looked at it and they said, you have one attack. You have one thing that you can do. We're going to stop that one thing. And they did good at that. LSU's quarterback play was pretty bad.
Yeah, the quarterback was pretty bad, but they did make some big plays, including that big play that made that disgusting tackle. Before that was a pretty...
I wouldn't even call it a tackle.
You're right. It was just a disgusting cheap hit. But, I mean, before that, it was good pressure on the quarterback, good read by the... I mean, I think it was a cornerback. Whoever read the ball, picked him off, and they looked pretty good in other spots on pass defense too.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think they can do that against the likes of these better teams? Can't be sure. Probably not. But I think if they can do that, they're a decent shot to make the playoffs. But I think
they'll make the Big Ten championship game. I think they will play Ohio State.
Okay.
And I think Ohio State will whoop up on them. I think Urban Meyer will be a great coach, and he will make it. So Wisconsin, although they are a well-respected team, they will not go anywhere.
Okay.
I think at the end of the season, they're going to be 11-15. Good team.
That's fair.
Good team. Not a championship team. Yeah, I just think that cheap hit was absolutely terrible. I think the fact that I want to say his name was like Boutier or something like that.
Eh.
Booty or Butt or something like that.
Let's just call him Butt.
But the fact that Les Miles said that he's like, oh, yeah, I think he hit him because he thought the play was live is a complete joke. I can understand how Les Miles would say that immediately afterwards.
Sure.
Because
that's what I thought when I saw it live.
Yeah.
When I saw the first shot, I was like, oh, he thought it was like live. It was a cheap hit still, but he thought it was live. I saw the replay. The dude's running, holding the ball above his head, celebrating. He's obviously not running it back.
Yeah.
His teammates aren't moving. The other team is celebrating.
Yeah.
He had a clear shot. And
he had a clear shot.
He had the best view on this play of anybody. Mm-hmm. He knew what he was doing. He was frustrated, made a stupid play.
My thing is, he gets up and he looks at the Wisconsin bench and he does this little come here thing with his finger. No matter what else is going on, that right there says, I know that I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing, but come at me.
Sure.
Try and fight me. And I think that's the big thing. I love the fact that Wisconsin didn't do anything. They didn't start a brawl. They didn't start anything. They basically just went, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah.
And that was it.
Super
great sportsmanship.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard at that point too, because
really tough.
If you saw your player get cheap shotted like that,
mm-hmm.
It's really hard to not want to hit him back.
Oh yeah. So one thing I think is interesting, is how much LSU dropped in the polls. So in the AP last week, they were 5, they lose to Wisconsin. Now they're 21.
Yeah.
21. That's a joke.
I think they did well they put Wisconsin to 10, which is telling to me, because I think if you were like, Wisconsin is a terrible team and they beat this LSU team,
yeah,
sure, you drop them that low. But the fact that you put Wisconsin from unranked, probably I think they were 27, 28 preseason, to 10, obviously you think they're a good team.
Yeah.
So you just... I don't know. I think they moved them way too far.
It should either be the LSU doesn't drop much or Wisconsin doesn't go up much. It shouldn't be, oh, Wisconsin's amazing, let's put them in the top 10. And then, oh, LSU lost to a bad team, drop them out, 22.
Well, and that's
what kills me. I'm like, I think it's fair to put them maybe within 5 spots of each other.
Right.
Maybe they go 10 and 15, or maybe they go 15 and 20.
That was what was weird to me, though. So LSU gets upset by Wisconsin. They get upset by Wisconsin, and they're like, oh, this LSU team sucks. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma gets upset by Houston. Great team. Houston's a real deal. They're going to be in playoff contention. Oklahoma just faced a really good team.
They drop them to 13-14.
Right. Like, there's some inconsistency there. Granted, LSU didn't look as dominant as they definitely didn't deserve that 5 spot. Fournette couldn't get the run going. Their quarterback didn't look very good. I mean, I kind of get it, but I feel like they dropped them way too hard. 21 is way too far.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's an absolute joke that they dropped both Oklahoma and LSU as far as they did when they did. I mean, they both played good teams. Notre Dame, they dropped to 18 from 10 after losing to a team that they then put 11. I think 11-18, maybe a bit much for two teams that went into double overtime. But, I mean, I can see it. I can see where they're coming from.
An unranked Texas, though.
Yeah, unranked.
So they moved them at least 14 spots or 15 spots.
Yeah.
I think it was that 15 to, like, 17 spots.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a joke. I don't know. I think Wisconsin and Texas are both good teams. I don't understand why they're ranked 10th and 11th. You brought up the point earlier, that we probably agree more with the coaches poll.
Sure, for sure.
Which puts Wisconsin at 16, Texas at 20.
But they still put LSU at 22.
They still put LSU at 22. They put Notre Dame at 21.
So you have to think about it this way, though. Those rankings they were preseason, just going off of last year's. So if you saw this as week one, is LSU better than 22? Forget that they were 5 before. Forget that they dropped 17 spots. Do you think they're better than 22?
Yeah. I probably put them above Baylor.
You're right. I think I put them around that 17 spot-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. There's a lot. I think Louisville's too high. I don't think Louisville's that good. So I would drop Louisville quite a bit, and I'd bump LSU up a little bit, but I don't know. I think it's interesting.
And the other interesting move, Tennessee ranked 9, wins their game, drops to 17. Granted, they were behind the whole game, never held a lead, and had to beat Appalachian State in overtime.
Opalotion.
But they drop 8 spots with the win.
Yeah.
But the thing is with that, yeah, I think it's more like, oh, we need to move all these teams up. And slowly but surely, Tennessee kept dropping and dropping. It's not like, ooh, Tennessee just looked absolutely horrible. We think that we should drop them. I think it's, ooh, there was so many, like Texas, Wisconsin. Let's see. Who else moved up? Georgia, Washington.
Probably Washington, yeah.
Houston, that all needed to move up. And Tennessee just kept getting moved and moved and moved.
My thing with it is I think before the season started, there had been so much hype on Tennessee that people are like, oh, Tennessee is the underdog. People are overlooking Tennessee. They're going to be so good. They can beat Alabama. They'll win the SEC. They'll do this. And they were just, oh, Tennessee is the one that nobody knows how great they're going to be. And then all of a sudden, it's like Appalachian State, and they're like, oh, you know what? I don't think they're that good anymore.
Yeah.
I think we kind of overhyped them. And I think that the Tennessee hype train tried to get to the station and got derailed in the Appalachians.
To be fair,
I think they're terrible.
Okay. I don't think they're that bad. I think this game against Virginia Tech this week will be really telling. But I think the big thing with Tennessee is last year they had this same problem. They lost games or almost lost games. They had no right even, like, being close. Like, Tennessee, this should not have been a close game. But they had this problem last year, and everyone's like, oh, they got it fixed. They have all these starters coming back. And they run into the same problem week one as they did last year. So,
it's true.
I mean, I think, yeah, I don't think 17's a bad spot for Tennessee. I just think it's interesting that they dropped 8 spots with a win.
Oh, yeah, I think Tennessee, I would put, I did a top 25 thing today for the college football subreddit.
Right.
And I think I put them at 18. So it's not like I see it dramatically different, but I do look at them like, they were just so overhyped, and they're just, they're a good SEC team. That's what they are.
I think last week we both talked about how we thought Tennessee was ranked too high.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, this first game is
telling. So we were both right. We agree.
Yeah, we agreed, and we're right on something.
Wow.
Wow. Just mark that in your calendar, boys and girls, because that will almost never happen again.
Yeah, because Alex is always wrong.
I would like to argue with you, but the record shows otherwise.
Yes. Yes. See, there's now evidence that I'm better.
To be fair, I was so close to the Utah State score. I guessed 48-10, I believe, and it was 45-6.
It's true. You were really close on that one.
So, I mean, I know our Utah State Aggies. So.
I also guessed 35-10, and that's not dramatic. And you also the whole time against Weber State, you kept saying that
60-3.
You thought it was 60-3.
I did have that mixed up. To be fair, though, if Matt Wells wasn't against running up points, it could have been 60-6 easy. Mm-hmm. The fact that Mays didn't have a run after halfway through he had a couple runs
small runs.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the fact that Tony.
Tony, so just to let you know, when we talk about Tony, we are acting like we're just these old smoking ladies, and we actually are pretending to hold cigarettes, just like Tony.
Because that's how I picture someone saying Tony.
Tony the he was a runner.
Tony Hagrass Jr.
Oh, he was running.
But he looked good.
He did really well.
So, I mean, really no disrespect to him. He looked really good. When he first ran, he did really well, and both of us and a couple other people on the bench who were actually paying attention were like, wait, who is that?
Who is he?
Was that Hunt? No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Which is the other thing. I was surprised Hunt didn't really get much playing time.
Yeah, to be fair, I think he ran twice and busted a pretty long touchdown run on one of them.
Yeah, he did get a touchdown. Yeah.
He did. I don't. He might have got more than
kick return and punt return, or kick return. I think it was.
Maybe that's it. They wanted to give him more on kick return, punt return.
Which, I mean, that's a thing. I mean, I can see it. One of the things, and we'll get to this a little bit more in just a sec. But I'm really hoping that we kind of we're given a weird view on how our team plays. That's one of my theories. We're going to talk about it a little bit more.
But first, for any of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Over Competitive Bystanders here on KBLU 92.3 here in Logan, Utah.
So we've had a great week one. It was probably one of the best week ones ever. I mean, that's what ESPN said every other, every 10 seconds, we're like, this is the best week one ever.
Yeah, so I'm too young. I haven't watched enough college football to say that, but people who do say that. It was an awesome week. I sat on my couch and watched a whole bunch of college football this week. It was awesome.
I'm too young, and I will say it.
Okay, that's fair. I just don't feel like I have the authority to say that because I haven't been paying attention long enough.
Well, obviously, you don't understand that you have a radio show.
Oh.
You have the authority.
Okay, I think it's one of the best week one.
It was
I
really
can't
good.
Say for sure
it was
it's
really,
the
really
number
good.
Week one
it was,
because
it was super entertaining.
The unfortunate thing is we're coming up on a very boring week two.
Yeah, honestly, we were looking at what games we want to preview for week two.
There is no top 25 game I want to preview, really.
Yeah,
I mean, Oregon.
We were kind of stretching it, really stretching it to see which ones we want to talk about. Basically, the four that we picked for college football, three of them were because of bias. And one of them is because we kind of just are intrigued to see what happens here.
Exactly.
So the first one we're going to talk about is the Holy War. It's back. It's been a couple of years since it was played regular season. I mean, last year they played it in the bowl game, but it's been a while. The hatred between the two teams has not. I've already seen some pranks that are going on in between the two.
As lame as they are, but yeah.
Yeah, pretty lame BYU pranks that they're doing, but I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
But so here's my thing. The U didn't look that impressive against SUU. I think SUU is a good FCS school. They're not as good as they were last year. They shouldn't have been as close as they were. But I don't know. That kind of scared me. But the other thing is BYU, Watching the BYU-Arizona game, I felt like BYU and Arizona were very close on the level that they played, which wasn't necessarily like a high level of competition, but it was okay. The only difference that I saw really between the two teams was Jamal Williams. I think Jamal Williams is a great runner. He's stellar. He doesn't go down. He keeps going. He has pretty good field vision. If it wasn't for some really stupid penalties on BYU, he would have had a lot more yards.
Sure.
But he's really the only one. Taysom looks like Chucky did last year.
Wow.
He looked timid. He didn't run super confidently. I think he's a better passer than Chucky was.
Okay.
But he just looked kind of like not in his element, because obviously having that many injuries gets in your head. And it's what happened to Chucky. It's happening to Taysom. I think Taysom's still good. He's not the Heisman caliber guy that everybody seems to think he is when they somehow cross the point of the mountain and it just goes into your brain that Taysom will win the Heisman this year. But
I think BYU is going to be national champion somehow with the worst record.
Yeah.
Of the state for sure.
I don't know. I think Jamal Williams is their Heisman candidate if they were to have one. Mays is our Heisman candidate.
And I think he has a better shot of showing that off than Jamal Williams does. Yeah. At the end of the season, a Heisman candidate can't be going 5-7, 6-6, which I think BYU will go.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, with the win over Arizona, I have to lean more towards that 5-7 to 6-6 range.
And that's what puts me to 6-6.
Yeah.
The win against Arizona. The other thing that scares me, Mississippi State looked bad. They lost to an FCS school.
Yeah,
that's one that I had as a for sure loss for BYU. Now I'm looking at it going, maybe Mississippi State gets it figured out by then.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But, I mean, BYU's schedule just kind of opened up. UCLA lost. Mississippi State lost. Michigan State didn't look all that impressive overall. I mean, there was a lot of it that I kind of looked at. I'm like, man, their schedule isn't as bad as I thought it would be, which is good for BYU. I think they will want the wins, but I don't think that they're playing the tough schedule that everyone kind of predicted they would be.
Yeah, unfortunately, BYU is going to have a better season than I thought preseason they would. I was really hoping for that 4-7 coming into Utah State, even like a 3-8 coming into Utah State. I don't think that's possible unless Jamal Williams goes down.
I think that's the difference maker.
But if Jamal Williams go down, I don't see them winning another game. Except for,
UMass and SUU.
UMass, yes. SUU could put up a fight. I don't think they win it, but you're right.
Yeah.
So they win two more games, but those are like definitely should win, no contention.
Yeah. So my prediction on this one, I do think the U will be better. I think they're a better team. I think they just kind of had an off-ish week. I think BYU put out arguably their best. They started out running against Arizona, and they got a win out of it, and that's good. I think Utah started slow. I think they'll be there ready for the BYU game. It's at Utah. I think Utah's defense is going to key in on Jamal Williams. They're going to shut him down. I don't think Jamal will have that great of a game. I don't think Taysom's that good. The BYU defense didn't look that good. They kind of looked lost. I think Utah wins it. I'm going to put it 32-24.
Okay. So unfortunately, the Utah game was mostly during the USU game, and I couldn't watch the BYU game. So I am making this prediction without seeing either team. I did see the stats. The thing that worries me is Arizona started out slow. BYU took advantage of that, and they put up a big enough lead that when Arizona finally got into the game, BYU could get the win. Utah started out slow against SUU. I think they looked pretty good by the end, but their defense obviously shut out SUU, yeah, which I think is a big thing. Like, you can't discount SUU not scoring any points.
A shutout is a big thing no matter who you're playing.
Exactly. Or
Ohio State and Michigan State Ohio State and Michigan both whooped up on some FCS opponents. They didn't shut them out.
They didn't shut them out, and they're supposed to be these super great teams. So as much as BYU wants to tell me that Utah is going to suck this year and that 24-0 is a despicable score, I think Utah will look better than BYU expects him to be. And I think BYU, I think Utah wins this 24-21. So closer than I want it to be. But I think in the end, Utah's defense is going to what's going to win this. And I think Jamal Williams is the only good thing for BYU.
Okay. That's fair. I think I agree with you. I think Jamal Williams is killer. I didn't see really anything else on BYU that was impressive.
Especially if Hill is being this timid player, Utah is going to crush that.
Yeah. I think they'll do really well. So the next game, Utah State versus the University of Southern California. I almost said Carolina, but I know that's wrong. Southern California. The Trojans. I haven't heard much about this program. I don't know. Is it a big program?
They've come out of nowhere this year. Like, people are thinking they're really good, and they get smashed by Alabama, and they're still in talks of being a great team. I think this is a classic case of these
mid-level teams that for some reason people think they're going to have a great season.
That was just a hype train.
They play a good team, and then they just go out the window. You know, I don't think they're the team that everyone thinks they are.
I actually agree with you there.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, you know, because they play kind of close to UCLA, right? Like, are they in the same city? They're pretty close. Okay. Yeah. I think just UCLA is just a much better, much higher level program.
For sure.
Every
year.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the Trojans, they are the Trojans, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They actually named themselves after the condoms.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. The condoms came first.
Okay, there you go. You learn something new every day.
All right.
But I think Utah State. So here's my hopes and dreams for this game.
Being real now.
Being
real. Because obviously we know who USC is, and they're a big team.
Very scary. Even though they got whooped on by Alabama, I'm still terrified of them. Yep. My hope is that, you know, all preseason Matt Wells was saying we're going to run 80% of the time, and then what did we do against Weber? We ran.
We ran with Mays. We ran with Tony.
Tony.
And we even ran a little bit with Hunt.
Yeah. I mean, we ran well. There's a part of me that wants to think that, like, Matt Wells was like, all right, here's the deal. Kent, go out there, throw some bad passes. Throw some passes over their heads. Throw some passes at their feet. Throw some passes behind them. Nothing that'll get intercepted, but throw some not-so-great passes. So that USC will watch the film and just be like, oh, he's not that good. I mean, look at the pass. He's okay. But they underestimate. I mean, we never threw the ball deep against Weber.
The other thing is, with the huge run that we were having, I don't remember one play-action play.
Yeah, that's very true.
The biggest thing you do to, like, if you're having a good run, play-action.
Yeah.
Super great play call. We didn't call it once, I don't believe. Or if it did, it was like a play. So there's a little part of me that actually wants to believe you, that they were like, you know, if for some reason Weber State gives us trouble, we'll bring out these plays. But until then, we're just going to let Mays run up the score. We're not going to show him anything on the pass offense, because we ran very few pass plays. It was definitely less than 20%, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I think there's a argument there that they're trying to hide the pass offense.
And I think that would be great. And I think the thing is, USC had to show everything that they had.
And they looked
bad.
Terrible.
We know today all of USC's weaknesses, because they literally just laid it out there, and the whole world can come and see and go, all right, if you want to beat USC, do this, do this, do this. These plays work. That hasn't been laid out for Utah State.
Yeah.
I
mean, we showed off our run, but I mean, in the simplest of plays. Hey, Mays, run it up the middle. Oh, he busted a 60-yard run again? Okay.
Yeah. Now, also being real, I think the Alabama game was about the worst thing that could have happened. My thing is, I think USC is a really good team. I don't know if they're ranked level, but I think they're a good team. At least athletically, they're really good.
Yeah.
And I think if they're emotionally charged and they're sitting there going, we got to prove to the world that we're not terrible, they're going to put up a huge fight against Utah State. They're going to look really good. And I think it's bad. I kind of wanted to see them lose to Alabama, but on a closer game, maybe a win, so that we saw what their weaknesses were, but at the same time, they kind of were in their own heads and they start looking forward towards Stanford the following week. I think right now they're just looking at it going, we need a win. Yeah. We need a win. Win this week first. And that's what scares me.
I need to toot my horn again. So again, in the pregame, we were talking about this game. And of course, Ethan was like, oh, USC is a good program. They're going to put up a fight. And I said, no, Alabama is going to crush USC. It's not going to be close. They're going to be walking away with their tails between their legs.
Yeah.
So I foresaw that game. Unfortunately, I don't think that works in the favor of USU. I think with the fact that they got decimated so hard, they're going to come in looking for a win, and they have no option to just look ahead to Stanford.
That's true.
If they won against Alabama, or even if they were competitive against Alabama, I think they're like, we don't need to prepare as much for USU. Let's look forward to Stanford, and we could win a trap game. If it is true, though, that we're hiding all these pass plays, that we're hiding the pass, if we come out and Kent Myers looks way better than he did against Weber State, because he did not look convincing to me.
No, but he didn't.
He looked good last year. Like, there's no reason that, like, he should go back, right? There shouldn't be the steep decline between – in college.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to believe at some level they're definitely hiding our pass plays and may have told Kent to look a little bit less dominating than we should. But the questions I had last week are our wide receivers and our defense. Defense impressed me a lot. We basically shut down the pass. Granted, that was on like three huge dropped passes by Weber State. We didn't. The biggest run play I think we let off was like 12 yards, which was our biggest, hole last year. Granted, this is Weber State, so
yeah. I mean, you take it with a grain of salt.
But the problem,
you still see we have a strong run off.
Yeah, you could look at the defense. The defense looked good. Yeah. I mean, whether it was against Weber State. However, I had almost zero answered about our wide receivers. There was that one play where it was kind of tipped and our guy like fell back and caught it, which was a good play.
Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, there wasn't very many answers for me.
And there wasn't really many chances to get answers.
Exactly. Like, they did not like show off their wide receivers at all. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, we'll see. I hate to say it, the Aggies are going 1-1. I think it's a close game. I think it's a really close game.
Okay.
Heck, I'll even say overtime.
Okay.
I'm calling it overtime.
That would be exciting.
We're going to put it at 28-24 overtime.
They score 4 points in overtime.
28-24. We go into overtime tied 21.
They scored three. Okay. Sorry.
There we go.
Okay. All right. So here's my prediction, and then I'll actually give a score. I think either USU keeps this really close and wins this game, or USC runs all over us. They just decimate us.
Okay.
But I have to believe in USU. Funnily enough, I have us losing 24-21, so I just have them kicking a field goal and beating us by that field goal instead of going to overtime. So
okay,
we're actually pretty close.
You could even say that you have it where we missed the field goal that would have forced... Oh, no, they make the field goal.
Yeah, the USC makes a last-minute field goal to win this.
Okay. So that's why you were like, how do they get 4 points in overtime? Because you already had your idea that it would be 24.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. That's fair. I think, I, again, like it was last week with Houston, I would love to be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to be wrong.
I just don't see it happening. Okay. So real quick, we're going to go over Virginia Tech, Tennessee.
Well, first, for any of you just tuning in, you're listening to Overcompetitive Bystanders here on KBLU 92.3 here in Logan, Utah.
Okay. So we're just talking real quick about some college football. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL real quick. Just quick summary of these last couple games. So we're going to talk Virginia Tech, Tennessee. We had been talking earlier about how we think Tennessee's overranked. Are overrated, and they're, I think they've fallen to more of a correct spot. There's a part of me that thinks Virginia Tech will put up the same type of fight that Appalachian State did, and for some reason pull it out. Okay. I'm calling this one pretty close as well. I'm going to give it Virginia Tech 35 and Tennessee 31.
Okay. And the reason we're actually predicting this one is we looked at it, and I think this is the only like top 25 game I'd want to watch. And it's not because I think it's going to be a super great game, but only because I want answers about Tennessee. So I actually have Virginia Tech losing this one.
Okay.
To a Tennessee team, but by 4 points, it's going to be 21-27.
21-27.
Okay. 21-17. 4 points. 21-17.
Okay. So you're liking that 21.
I do
you're
like 21. You're thinking
21's a good score for a football game.
I do.
And I'm thinking a four-point win is a close win. That's what I've done on both of those.
Sure.
And every prediction that you've had 21. In fact, the BYU-Utah State-USC is the same score.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Okay, the last one, we're talking about just Virginia-Oregon, and just for the simple fact that we can bring up Bronco Mendenhall. So Bronco Mendenhall didn't do well in his premiere as the Virginia coach.
No, he did not.
He lost 37-20 to Richmond, an FCS school.
That you've probably only heard about once or twice.
I know them from basketball.
Well, yeah. Sure. I probably should say their football team.
But, I mean, I think it's interesting. It's the second worst loss by a Power 5 team to an FCS team in the last 10 years.
Wow.
That's not a good way to start off your career. My issue is that I feel like the moment he walked away from BYU, BYU fans have hated on him so hardcore as if he had been just this terrible, terrible person the whole time he was at BYU. And they're just like, yeah, serves him right to lose. And I'm like, what are you doing? He was your coach for 11 years. If you would
have asked him last year, they'd have been like, oh, Bronco Mendenhall is one of the greatest coaches of all time.
Yeah, BYU
fans. But I mean, that's just BYU fans.
I don't know. It's weird because if they're winning under Bronco, they love Bronco. If they're losing under Bronco, he should have been fired weeks ago.
Sure.
And now he goes to Virginia and it's like, oh, yep, serves him right. Why? What has he done that has created this bad taste in your mouth to cause this? I think he's not the best coach. I'm not a huge Bronco fan. I don't think it's fair to say, oh, serves him right to lose to an FCS school in his premier. I mean, yeah, I kind of, like, I don't know. I was hoping to see him do pretty well, but I also was kind of hoping that he wouldn't do
that
amazing,
poorly.
But not terrible.
Yeah,
so sure. I don't know. I think it's interesting. Oregon, they kind of struggled against an FCS school as well. I mean, yeah, they put up 53, but it wasn't – I don't know. I look at it, it's like
that's Oregon,
they let a lot of touchdowns in. Like –
That was Oregon last year. They would win games like 60-45.
Yeah, it's
they
true.
Had an explosive offense, and their defense was subpar. They won on this explosive offense or lost because the offense couldn't get going.
Yeah.
Which is actually why I have this game going Oregon 54, Virginia 45.
Okay, so you have Oregon 54, Virginia 45.
Yes, just okay. The inverse numbers.
Okay.
If you're curious.
I've got Oregon winning as well. I don't think Bronco does well in this aspect. Okay. One of the things, though, Bronco's strength is defense. I think he's a good defensive coordinator. I don't think he's that good of a head coach. That's sure. Where I think Bronco's at.
Okay.
I think he does a pretty good job of slowing down Oregon.
Okay.
I still think Oregon wins. I don't think they put up 50 on him. I'm going to call it 42-35.
Okay, so within a touchdown.
Within a touchdown.
Is that a, like, last-minute drive, or is it, like, a defensive hold?
I think it's defensive hold.
Okay. I'm just curious. It has no effect on whether you get it right or not. Yeah. But.
I don't know. I just think, and I understand that I said that he'd slow them down, but then I still said that he allows 42.
I mean, for Oregon, that's 50, pretty slow.
50 is what he keeps them under.
Okay.
But, yeah. So now we're going to talk a little bit about NFL.
Week one in the NFL, everybody should be excited. I'm super stoked, especially since week two of college football is going to be really bad. So I'm so excited that I'm going to have NFL games to watch.
Yeah, it'll be good. So one of the things I think is going to happen, we're going to talk about the Panthers-Broncos, the rematch of the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about the Niners-Rams.
Because those are our two teams.
And then we're going to talk about Patriots-Cardinals. First of all, with Panthers-Broncos, I think the Broncos are going to look bad. We talked about this in the past.
Right.
The Broncos, I don't see them making the playoffs this year. So basically, I have the Panthers winning 24-10.
Cool. I have them at 35-10. But I will add this. The Broncos do not get more than 200 offensive yards. And the only reason they score is because the defense puts them in range to score. In fact, I would say that 3 points on the 10, the defense probably makes a huge turnover at like the 30, and the offense can't punch it in, so they settle for a field goal.
Okay.
The Panthers will look almost, if not as good as last year. I don't think they're going to be better than they were last year, but I think Panthers are going to look dominate through this whole game.
Okay. What's your prediction for Niners at Rams?
So I have to say I am a Rams fan, so I am biased in this, but I think the 49ers offense is horrible. And the bright spot of LA right now is their defense.
Yeah, they do have a good defense.
And Todd Gurley.
Okay.
So I have the Rams winning 28-10. I really like 10, apparently, too.
Yeah.
But, and Todd Gurley looks really good. Yeah, and 49ers look really bad.
So I have the Niners.
Of course you do.
I have a bias there as well. Also the bias that I like to see the Rams lose.
Everyone does.
Like, I don't even care who they're playing unless they're playing the Patriots. But I do think the Niners will win this one. Just kind of going back to the fact that I don't think the Rams offense is very good.
Todd Gurley is good. The best offensive threat in the NFC West minus quarterbacks. And the NFC West is one of the highest in offense.
I think they're just good. I just don't see the Rams doing that much. I think it's really low scoring is what it comes down to.
Okay.
Not that the Niners offense does well. I'll give you 10 for the Niners, but I will give you 7 for the Rams.
Wow.
So
you just hurt my soul. Todd Gurley has more than 2 touchdowns in this game, or has at least 2 touchdowns in this game.
I'll give him the 1, and I think he has a lot of yards. I don't think he scores that much.
Okay.
So the last game we're going to talk about is Patriots Cardinals. I hate the Patriots, and so this makes me happy because with Tom Brady out, Gronk is questionable, but I think the Cardinals will kill it. I think they'll do really well. I think they've got a great team. I don't see the Patriots keeping up with them.
Yeah, so totally blanked on the fact that Gronk was possible, not probable. And that Tom Brady wasn't playing when I was thinking of the preview for this game, because I'm just airheaded like that. But the reason we picked this game in particular is a lot of experts have one or both of these teams meeting in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And so this will be the first showing of mostly the Cardinals. Obviously, yeah. Tom Brady isn't there. Gronk's probably not going to play. So they won't be as big of a show, but it'll show their defense. It'll show how good they will be in those first 4 games. So I have the Cardinals winning this game, but I think they look really bad towards the end of the season. I think Carson Palmer hits a huge cliff this year and looks just horrible. And so I have Cardinals winning, I'm going to say 24-14.
Okay. 24-14, you have the Cardinals. Okay. I think the Cardinals will put up a lot. I think they look really, really good.
Okay.
But I think in the end, it's just really that the Patriots don't have Brady.
Okay.
I actually think that the Cardinals put up 31, and I have the Patriots putting up a dismal 7.
Okay.
I think that offensively, the Patriots aren't there, and I think the Cardinals look really good.
All right. Well, you've heard our predictions. You've heard how excited we are for next week. So hit us, come and watch us next week, or listen to us next week, sorry, and see how our predictions went. But we're going to have to wrap up now, so follow us at USU Competitive on Twitter, and see our show next week, Wednesday at 9 a.m.